What's up, Fanatics? Time for another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. The seniors are back again. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined, as always, by my friend Rob Gray. How's it going, Rob?
Going great, Jared. I understand you had a fine Christmas and New Year's, so I did as well, and I hope, of course, all the Fanatics did, and ready to roll on, obviously after a tough but fairly encouraging Iowa State road loss at Oklahoma.
Did your kids enjoy Christmas?
They loved it. They're my wife's mom, so my mother-in-law just goes nuts on Christmas. They get more stuff than they know what to deal with. You know, so you try to counter that a little bit. You know, it makes it easy for us, though.
Right.
We didn't have to get as much stuff.
Do they enjoy getting clothes for Christmas?
Not a ton. No. Yeah. You talked about getting some cool gear, cool clothing. And I remember the age at which I wanted to get clothing too. And I remember very well the age when I got clothing, like a sweater. Mm-hmm. And I was just, demoralized by it. So
yeah, I can remember a day when I would open a box and there would be clothes in it, and you just
socks.
Yeah. I don't know if I ever got socks. Oh, actually, maybe I think I did. But it was like cool socks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, like you said, once you get to a certain age, that stuff you want and need, because it's going to keep you looking stylish on campus.
Well, I won't be on campus anymore.
Oh yeah. Well, you'll be around though.
Yeah, I'll be around.
You'd stroll down there every now and then, just relive.
Just go for a walk.
Relive the old days.
Right. I should ride my bike over there and just to do it.
Could do a senior's bike ride.
I don't know about another one.
Not
going
to do another one of those.
If we do, we're going to keep it below 10 miles.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Wait, how far did we go last time?
Well, I went.
Well, yeah, okay.
What did I end up going? It was 24, 25.
And I think
you made it about 18, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty close to that, I would say.
I was impressed.
Yeah, I'm not ashamed to admit that I bowed out.
You had never gone that far before in one stint, and your bike was, you're all upright, and the wind was just whipping us into us as we made our approach to Ames.
Yeah. Man, that was rough.
It was.
Almost as rough as the loss to Oklahoma feels for Cyclone fans, I'm sure. Even though it was not, you shouldn't be discouraged from that game, in my opinion. But I'm sure there's people out there that are still pretty upset.
Well, I think the upset comes from controlling the game for as long as they did and playing so well against a really good Oklahoma defense, exploiting it again and again, whether it be George Niang playing one of his best games as a Cyclone, and he's obviously had a lot of them, to Deontay Burton continuing to his by-minute production is through the roof, outside, inside, and that 7 of 10 from 3 just floors me. I think at one point he hit 5 straight threes over a 2-game span, and he's been, far better than advertised. You know, you want to get more from Abdul Nader. You certainly want to get more from Hollis Cook off the bench, who I think has been good defensively when he's played, but he's struggling with the shot a little bit there, and you hope it's not health-related after the hip surgeries. But I know he's grinding, and he'll do more. It's a big week. You know, get your home swagger back against a couple of pretty good tests with the Texas Tech team that I think is legit as a, at least a bubble-type NCAA team, and then Baylor, who we all know, with Prince and company and Medford, it's going to be a big challenge on Saturday as well. So two huge games and a lot to build from Oklahoma, despite letting it slip away late in the game.
Right. I was one of the first people to really jump on the Deontay Burton bandwagon, really, when he was playing well at Cap City last summer. Mm. And I have to admit, I did not expect this.
Yeah.
I mean, I expected him to come in and maybe add double-digit scoring consistently. But I thought he'd be a rebounder. I thought he'd be a guy that just hustled and played defense. But, man, he has blown my expectations out of the water. But at the same time, his defense is not good.
He's got a lot of work to do on that end. And I think that's fairly typical for guys with the layoff. Coach Prohm touched on it today. Where in terms of being game ready, that's the part of the game that isn't quite there for him yet, to put it generously. But he is so strong and then at the same time so smooth
right.
with his shot that I think when I asked him on media day what people will be surprised by him, one of the things he said was the way I can shoot it. Because, you know, they know about the dunks from the Cap City League and, of course, the Hilton Madness and all that. But it looks so good from out there. I mean, his form's solid. I mean, it's so smooth. I mean, what his addition makes makes the, you know, Final Four aspirations look a lot less like a pipe dream,
right.
and much more attainable. Mm-hmm. Despite obviously this gauntlet of Big 12 play and A&M thrown in the middle there too. Definitely very huge addition to the team, and has things looking up.
I think for him, on the defensive side of the ball, when I watch him, what I see is a guy that has been so much more athletic than people for a long time, that he feels like he can take chances when he really can't take chances, especially in this league against some of the guys that he's going to have to guard. And you see him, he'll reach out for a ball or something like that. It's almost like he's playing in the Cap City League where he just wants to rip people and he wants to be able to get steals on passes and stuff like that and jump the passing lanes. And I think as he gets kind of back into the flow of the game, you're going to see him wise up a little bit, and he's going to say, okay, I've got to keep my feet in front of this guy. I can't let him. I can't reach and then let him get by me where I'm so far leaning this way that he's already driven past me. But luckily, he is fast enough, he's long enough that he can kind of combat that with just his pure athleticism. But offensively, I don't think he even shot this well in the Cap City League, which maybe had his kind of had something to do with the fact that he was doing most of his stuff off the dribble, and there wasn't as much really catch and shoot. But there was a lot of times where he was by far the best player on the floor. And that would be including when they would play guys like Monte and George and Jamal and Abdul. He was consistently the best player out there. And he essentially won the whole championship single-handedly, you know. I mean, his team was good, but he – and
sure.
The guy's good. And I didn't expect him to be this good, though.
No, and because that's obviously a whole other arena.
Right. You know, I mean, it's not in any way comparable to Big 12 basketball. But I think I said it back then that there was just, he's got it. You know, I can't really define what it is, but it's when you watch him, you know that guy's a baller.
Yeah. When he's in the game, it's the team looks different too.
Right.
And I like what you said about the defensive end because it's leading to more fouls. That's another thing per minute. It's been pretty high for him, and he's going to play more minutes, as Coach Prohm said today. But Prohm said he's not going to alter the starting five. He doesn't think anything's broken, so doesn't need fixing. And he thinks Burton will be fine with six. You know, said something about it's not about how you start; it's how you finish. And if he continues to play like he plays, he'll be on the floor to the end, and you'll get plenty of minutes. But he does. Because maybe of that gambling you talked about, you know, he picks up a couple of, not ticky-tack, but a couple of fouls that he could avoid. And, you know, when you're getting three fouls in 17 minutes of play, you know, we all know what that translates to if you're playing, you know, anything approaching Monte Morris minutes, which nobody will. But, I mean, you know, 33, 34, you know, you're out before that. So, overall, just a huge shot in the arm for an Iowa State team that proved at Oklahoma, despite, again, the letting it slip away, but Oklahoma had something to do with that, with hitting big shots down the stretch, that they're right there. They're right there with the Kansases and Oklahomas, and they got to stay there, make it a three-team race for the top.
Were you surprised to see Iowa State drop quite as much as they did in the polls?
I was talking about that because I was thinking of the scenario where imagine that North Carolina is ranked number 2 and Duke is ranked 11. And Duke goes and plays at North Carolina and leads most of the game, loses by 4, had a chance to possibly win it with a good 3 look. I don't think Duke drops to 13.
They might move up.
Yeah, possibly. But and I don't know. You know, I hate to play the no respect for the Big 12 card because – you know, then people start bringing up but how'd they do in the tournament? You know, all this stuff, which is matchups, and it doesn't speak to the overall strength. You know, we know they're the number one RPI league again at this point. It was just odd. I would have foreseen a jump to 10 or staying at 11 far more as being far more likely than a 2-spot drop. I could see maybe dropping 1 because it depends on what everyone else is doing too, and you don't want to necessarily keep a team there if maybe a team that was just behind them went and got a big win.
Right.
But I was definitely surprised. How about you?
I was especially surprised to see them. I think, well, they dropped 5 spots in the coaches' poll.
They were
number 9 last week.
And yeah.
I mean, this is the same poll that had them all the way high as number 2, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah.
Tells me the SIDs weren't paying a whole
right.
lot of I mean coaches.
Yeah.
Weren't paying that much attention.
It just doesn't seem it just doesn't make sense to me. It's not very consistent, I don't think. And that's kind of what I want to see from the poll is I want everybody to be treated similarly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to see I think it's weird to see a team get beat by the team that is now number 1 in their poll.
Yeah.
By 4 points and it's like
in their house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to drop them for that.
Yeah. What self-respecting coach is going to say, "Oh, that's the, you know, if that was their team,
yeah,
drop us 5 spots. That makes sense."
Yeah.
Not that they probably really care, but
yeah.
You know.
I can tell you this, young man, young senior. If you try to put too much thought into what happens in the polls, you'll just cause your head to explode.
Yeah.
Rather than take the approach that teams claim that they always take, which is not pay a whole lot of mind to them.
Right. Like you mentioned that Iowa State or that the Big 12 is the top RPI conference in America again. They've got 6 teams in the top 30 of the RPI, which seems crazy.
To me, it does. Yeah, full 1/5.
Right.
But that's how good they are. I mean, we'll see how it shakes out once they start beating up on each other. But, you know, a reasonably challenging non-conference schedule. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you take it, the league as a whole, not right. individual teams necessarily, seems to have them in a good spot. And now does that, you know, lead to more respect when it comes to seeding down the line? Obviously, a lot of factors in that. But we've seen it go both ways for the Big 12 there, where team you might think is a 2 or a 3 ends up being a 4 or 5, or
right.
you think they're a 3 and a 4 and they're a 2, you know, so a lot of factors, but as of right now, certainly pointing to a lot of good things said, and of course, great basketball, another unbelievable regular season conference title chase.
It just doesn't seem like there's any other conference outside of maybe the ACC that on a night in and night out basis can have a game that could literally be the top game in college basketball.
Oh, that's a good point. I mean, there are some teams in the Big Ten very well respected, Maryland, based on what they brought back, and I don't know.
But even then, who would they play? Maybe Michigan State, and right now Michigan State's
not Purdue, but Purdue blew a 20-point lead at home against Iowa, who
right.
all since that Iowa State game has been balling great.
Yeah, they're number 19 now in the AP poll.
Yeah.
So.
And Ken Pom loves them.
Yeah.
Number 11, I think, there. I think the Cyclones are still high teens.
Yeah, something like that.
But, nothing with that. And the star power, too. I mean, just some really, really, really good players. I mean, based on what we saw at Oklahoma, I don't see how Buddy Hield and George Hinton. But the Cyclones, again, held way below his field goal percentage. Last year in 3 games, he shot 37% against the Cyclones, and he didn't shoot it at a clip that he was shooting this year, but he was at least mid-40s mm-hmm. and up. But this year coming in shooting 53%, and what was he, 8 of 23?
Yeah,
6 of
20? Yeah, he took more shots than he scored points.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, great job by Matt Thomas and Monte Morris on him, but both he and Niang, I don't see how they're not first-team All-Americans based on what they're showing talent-wise and everything else. But just a great stars. And then, you know, Kansas has who Kansas has, from your Seldons to your,
right.
you know, Masons and Perry Ellis. And it's just you know, spine-tingling action.
Mm-hmm.
Every night, you know, beginning tonight. Well, not beginning tonight. We've already had some. But,
yeah.
You know, big-time 1-2 matchup for Big Monday.
It doesn't seem like there's really been a year in college basketball that was so dominated by seniors in a long time.
It's appropriate. The seniors approve of that.
Right, exactly. We? Yes, exactly. But, I mean, guys like George Niang and mm-hmm. obviously Buddy Hield. I'm not 100% sure what class Chris Dunn at Providence is in.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Marcus Page is a senior, isn't he?
Right, Marcus Page is a senior. You know, Denzel Valentine, he's been at mm-hmm. Michigan State for a couple years yep. now. Chris Dunn's been at Providence for a while. The guys that are the premier players in college basketball right now, for the most part, have all been at their schools for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know when the last time really you could have pinpointed and said this year was dominated by guys that weren't one and done.
Yeah, Cincinnati, you know? Cincinnati's, I mean, they're not top tier. They've lost a few games, but they're a very upperclassman dominated team. And right. I believe Xavier is too,
yeah,
who continues
Xavier,
to roll.
Xavier is, I think. Virginia's got a few guys on their team that have been around for a while. Maryland, they have Diamond Stone, who I think he's a freshman, but other than that, they're pretty much all seniors. And Gonzaga's got a lot of seniors. Butler's got a lot of seniors.
It's why we're seeing so many great games. I mean, you've got guys that are, you know, they've been doing it for a while, and they've been doing it together for a while, mm-hmm. and lends itself to really fun games to watch, and so far, so good there.
Yeah, really, you look at the top 10, and I mean, even the top 15 in the AP, and Kentucky,
yeah,
maybe Duke, are the only two schools that I can really even think of that are pretty driven by freshmen. And even mm-hmm. you could say with Kentucky that they're not driven by freshmen.
Yeah.
But I don't remember a time like that. I don't.
No. I mean, certainly in the era of, certainly in the last 20 years or so.
Yeah.
I mean, it used to be very prevalent, of course, because nobody right. was leaving early for the NBA or skipping college ball altogether. Like, you know, Kobe Bryant kind of ushered in that era. But it makes the games a whole lot of fun.
I think the last time I can maybe think of would have been when Adam Morrison and J.J. Redick were both seniors.
Mm, yeah.
I don't even know if that would be comparable, but it seems like that's the last time I remember the two best players in college basketball being seniors.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, yeah, usually you're talking about a freshman one-and-done guy uh-huh. might be the best player, or this other freshman one-and-done right. guy, whether it be at Kentucky or whether it be at Duke, whether it be at, you know, any school out west. It's fun because you have familiarity with them, too. You've been watching them mm-hmm. for all these years, so you kind of know what these players are all about, whether they have larger-than-life personalities like George Niang or whether they're just kind of I'm going to plug away and do my job kind of guys. I mean, you just get all those mixes, and you feel like you know them a little bit. So that adds to the intrigue as well.
Yeah, definitely. What do you think about the Texas Tech Red Raiders?
I think they're pretty good. I don't think that's an asterisk fueled 11-1. They've played some decent competition. Got beat, I think, by Utah by 10, and that's a pretty solid team. Beaten some pretty good mid-majors. But as was touched upon today, this is probably their first true road test. And for Hilton Coliseum to be the site of your first true challenge away from home, I don't like how it's, from a Texas Tech perspective, I don't like how that sets up. But I think they've got enough. They rebound it well. They good defense. But as we've seen before, when Iowa State's rolling offensively, throughout almost all of the Hoiberg year and early on in the Prom era, how good was Oklahoma's field goal percentage defense coming in? And the Cyclones shoot 50-51%. Mm-hmm. So when they're rolling, it doesn't matter, how good, the team's body of work has been in terms of slowing, the scoring rate or just how often it goes in the hoop. So I think they'll probably be able to do that. But Devonta Williams, a guy who, along with Gotcher, who really hurt them last year in that troubling road loss against a much less talented and experienced Texas Tech team last year. He's playing at a really high level, and they seem to have the pieces that when Tubby Smith has things going, and my memory of him is more at Kentucky and Minnesota. But when those teams were really good, it was good defense. You boarded the basketball, and you also, you played with some pace, but there was a good deal of control and you didn't turn it over a whole lot. And that's what they've shown through 12 games. So it should be a good test, but I like Iowa State to maybe get a low double-digit win, maybe.
It still blows my mind that Tubby Smith has been fired twice from high major Division One jobs.
Yeah, the he forgot how to coach both times.
The dude wins everywhere he goes, though. That's what doesn't make sense to me. They say, oh, he can't coach anymore. Mm-hmm. And then he goes somewhere else, and then it's a couple years later, they're already winning.
Yep, yep. I think what happened is Minnesota, the expectations were oversized.
Right.
Because he got them to being pretty much a consistent tournament team. They didn't have really that breakthrough. You know, Kentucky, of course, he won a national title. But what happened at Kentucky is they settled into that anywhere from 4 to 9 seed type of every year kind of thing. And that's not going to fly in Kentucky very long. But it is, I guess it's just kind of how the world works. So you're in coaching long enough, right. You know, guys are all of a sudden, oh, it's gotten stale with him. And we need new energy. And okay, and got to part ways. And
well, the thing I say about Minnesota is how much better have you been since you left?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not much.
Yeah.
And the thing with him at Minnesota is I feel like he would have had the thing rolling. Mm-hmm. You know, he had guys that came in.
Big-time recruits.
But it seemed like every year he had guys getting in trouble.
Too, yep.
And getting kicked off the team.
Hurt, yeah.
You think about guys like Royce White,
mm-hmm.
who, if he doesn't get himself in trouble,
yep.
that would have been a very, very good Minnesota team with a bunch of guys from Minnesota that would have been really, 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 really good.
Absolutely. And, I mean, the fact that Tubby Smith has Texas Tech as a team that's in the NCAA tournament conversation, yes, they've been there before. They're not like Northwestern or whatever, a team that's decent to okay every year but can't get – but they've been really bad for a while. And, and you know, it's not a, hey, come to Lubbock. You know, they don't have tradition to draw upon of any, you know, substantial amount. And he's got a fairly talented group there. They clearly don't have all the pieces yet, and I think they'll start to get exposed a little bit beginning Wednesday, but still think they've got a chance to be be in the conversation for that, you know, maybe, I don't want to say 4, but 5, 6 spot in the Big 12 standings, which would be a huge leap for them.
It seems like it's been a lifetime since Bob Knight was the coach there.
Yeah. Even he wasn't hugely successful. I know it was at the tail end of his style was getting to the point where it wasn't really going to fly with the modern college athlete, student athlete, I should say. But nonetheless, I mean, and his son, of course, couldn't get it going either. So it's impressive what he's done so far. But again, we saw last year TCU rolled into some nice non-conference.
Yeah,
wins, I think they were undefeated. And then they got in the league, and they couldn't beat anybody. You know, you could see that they were definitely better.
Right.
But the league was so good, and they hadn't learned to win in league yet, that they would just lose and lose and lose and lose and lose.
Right. It was one of those situations where you said, if TCU was still in the Mountain West, hey, that would have been a really, really good basketball team. But in the Big 12, it's just not going to fly.
Yep.
You know? And I mean, that's probably the same way it might be with Texas Tech. I think that could be the same way it is with TCU, too, because you see they've got a pretty good record. Coming into conference play as well. And the thing that really told me that Texas Tech is for real and is not really that TCU situation, to be able to go and get a win against Texas in the first game of Big 12 play. And I had been thinking for a while that Texas had the potential to be that number 4 team in the conference, but you lose a guy like Cameron Ridley.
Yeah.
And now it's like, how are they going to play?
Yeah, you take away a double-double a game, and that's a huge adjustment. I think they'll get some things figured out at Texas, and they played obviously one of the tougher schedules, the Big 12, and I think they sit 8-5 or something like that.
Yeah.
But I don't know how they recover. I think it definitely takes them out of the conversation of top 4. I think they're right there in that 5-6-7 mix now.
Well, I think I wrote last week that I feel like those top 3 teams are so far ahead of the other 7.
Mm-hmm.
The other 7 are good,
yeah,
and they're going to be solid teams nationally, but I don't feel like they're quite – I mean, they're not even near that same level as those other 3.
Yeah, West Virginia stole one at Kansas State, but we figure Kansas State is probably 9.
Yeah,
that's
what we talked about all season long mainly.
It needed – what was it, 3 overtimes?
Yeah, 2 I thought.
Okay, maybe it was 2. They're a good team, but they're also in that you stated it perfectly. There's that top tier with the 3, and then it's a significant drop off even to some very solid basketball teams that are in that mix. you know, Baylor, West Virginia. I mean, you know, Baylor stumbled a bit lately too. So I think, yeah, there's a big gap now as injuries, now as who gets hot, who comes of age among young players on some of those teams. We'll see if that tightens up. But at this point, it looks like the big three of the Big 12 will be battling it out. And to be honest, at this point, it's kind of hard to not see Iowa State as the firm three, mm-hmm. even a bit behind Kansas and Oklahoma, despite the solid performance there. And everything can change, though. Talent-wise, I think they're right there.
What do you see being the number for the Cyclones conference wins?
I could see I'm seeing probably 12-6.
Okay.
Maybe 13-5.
I think that the winner's gonna have 5 losses.
I'd say 4 or 5, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't see someone having 3 or fewer losses in this conference.
Even though, I mean, Kansas is good. They're really, really good, and especially when Wayne Seldon is playing at a high level, that team is nearly unstoppable. Mm-hmm. But there's too many crazy things that can happen in this game, mm-hmm. and especially in this conference.
Absolutely.
I'd have to agree. Probably 12-6 or 13-5.
Yeah.
Would seem realistic to me.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think somebody asked earlier, over under 14. I'd probably take the under, but mm-hmm. it wouldn't be very, very much.
No. I think that's doable. But I think when you had such a great opportunity against an Oklahoma, now do you say, okay, we lose at Oklahoma, we lose at Kansas, and then throw in a random West Virginia, blah, 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 and somebody else, well, and win all your games at home.
Right. You're still right in the contention.
Yeah, you're right there.
In the contention to win it.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out, particularly as the depth of rotations continue to develop for Iowa State, that they need minutes and some production from Hollis Cook.
And Abdul Nader.
And Abdul Nader, who lately, you know, other than the big shot at Cincinnati, has been, you know, kind of just out of sync.
Mm-hmm. It seems like he just is forcing things a lot. Mm-hmm. Instead of letting the game come to him.
Yeah. No, I agree.
You good? Kind of a short one today.
I'm good. Going to get to some player interviews here shortly at the Sioux Cup.
Very busy Monday here at Cyclone Fanatic. I'll have a teleconference later. All of our usual stuff. All throughout the rest of the week. Of course, the women go to Austin, Texas on Wednesday. So we'll have full coverage from that one, as well as the men's game against Texas Tech, and then a men's-women's doubleheader on Saturday, the men taking on Baylor and the women taking on Kansas. Of course, our intern Garrett Kroger is going to have all kinds of wrestling stuff for us. They head to the Virginia Duels later in the week, so make sure and keep an eye out for all of that stuff. Stay tuned to CycloneFanatic.com throughout the rest of this week. You got anything else to add?
Nothing else to add other than Happy New Year to everyone, and looking forward to all these games.
Oh, and we'll have a new podcast starting tomorrow, the Ask CW podcast.
That should be a lot of fun.
With me and him. So
excellent.
Yeah. So if you have questions, make sure and put them on Twitter, hashtag Ask CW. I'll compile the list, and they can be about anything. I think this one's going to be a lot of fun. So.
Shout out to Ted Flint, too. Our friend Ted Flint got engaged, from what I could gather.
It's crazy to think that there's a woman out there that can tie that man down.
That's true. He is.
She must be a special lady.
You know,
lady.
Royce White was Land of Lions and all that. You know, Ted's right there, not in the pride, of course. He's one of the males with the big mane, you know, prowling around. But congratulations to him and anyone else who had a momentous happening over the holidays.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening. For Rob Gray, I'm Jared Stansberry. Have a good week.